I'm Amy Holmes. I'm here with Andrea Bernstein, and we're in with John Hawk for
hey,
John
Amy.
Hawk and Mary. Good morning. So, Andrea, do you get as confused as I do about all these moving parts, all these buzzwords, these phrases, co-op, public option, death panels?
Are you kidding me? I took the book Cooperative Health Insurance Consortiums with
you?
Me to Vermont last week. I read it on vacation.
Oh, well, I'm very proud of your reading material. Our next guest, Dr. Art Kaplan, he's here from the director of the Center for Bioethics at the University of Pennsylvania, and he's going to explain all of this. Dr. Kaplan, thanks for joining us.
Hey, good morning.
So for a while there, the debate was pretty caught up in a couple of buzzwords. Let's give a listen.
Sarah Palin now joining the fray with a posting on her Facebook page saying, quote, the America I know and love is not one in which my parents or my baby with Down syndrome will have to stand in front of Obama's death panel so his bureaucrats can decide whether they are worthy of health care. Such a system is downright evil.
Dr. Kaplan, hot words, passionate words, but what was she talking about when she said death panel?
Well, nothing she was talking about overlapped reality. What she was trying to do is be political and say there are going to be people out there in the government-sponsored plan to bring in the currently uninsured who are going to do cost containment by saying no more care for your grandmother. She was saying that the disabled and the elderly had a lot to worry about if government ran health care because they were going to set limits by age and they were not going to spend money on the disabled. So it was basically a kind of scare tactic. Insurance companies do that all the time now. We have all kinds of panels at private companies like Aetna, United Healthcare, Blue Cross that sit around and say, this is covered, that isn't covered. It's not that people don't make decisions about what to pay for. But she was trying to frighten people away from the idea that the federal government shouldn't be setting limits.
But was she terribly off base? I mean, we saw that the Senate Finance Committee said that this whole idea of reimbursing or paying medical doctors to provide this counseling, it's now out of this bill.
Well, I think the scare rhetoric there worked. The end-of-life care counseling idea, I think, is a very solid and sound one. It just means you should sit down with your doctor and talk about how to manage things if you became terminally ill. Even if you're a young person, you should do it. And you should do it anyway, by the way. The idea was to get the doctor paid for the time. Doctors don't do it now because they're too busy. They're churning patients through in the current system, seeing somebody every 10 minutes. It takes a while to talk this through. But no one said you had to say, you know, I don't want to live past 60, or please kill me if my bill gets above $50,000. That was all silliness. So the idea of just paying for end-of-life care counseling time, I think, is a sound one. But I think the critics won on the rhetoric there.
But so let's move on to this new catchphrase that everybody's trying to get caught up with is co-op. And this is supposed to now possibly be replacing a public program. Here's the Secretary of Health and Human Services, Kathleen Sebelius, speaking to CNN's John King about a not-for-profit health co-op system.
They've been more focused on a not-for-profit co-op as a competitor as opposed to a straight government-run program. And I think what's important is choice and competition. And I'm convinced at the end of the day the plan will have both of those. But that is not the essential element.
Okay, Art, I'm just like falling into basically a quagmire of buzzwords here. What does she mean when she says a co-op? What is that?
Co-op is actually a variety of plans that contract with doctors and hospitals to give you services. You might say, hey, wait a minute, don't we have some of that? In a way, Blue Cross, in many parts of the country, a not-for-profit plan, acts like a co-op. So nothing magical about it at all. It's just run in the private sector. It advertises. It looks for patients by trying to, if you will, recruit them on TV or in billboards.
So are these health insurance companies like what you could sign up with on the internet and they're somehow put into a consortium? What does that mean?
Yes, and the reason they get to be co-ops as opposed to just private insurance plans is they're not for profit, although as I said, we already have a few of those. They're going to have to be heavily regulated because the private insurance plans to date have left about 35 million of us uninsured. I mean, that's been the market outcome so far. So you got to subsidize them, and you have to regulate them heavily. You have to say you can't weed out people who are sick, who have pre-existing diseases like cystic fibrosis or juvenile diabetes, you got to take them too. And you have to probably set some rates that require them to cover certain things. If you don't do that, all the co-op does is it reinvents the private market. The private market has left roughly a quarter of all Americans uninsured anyway. So it's a heavily regulated side of the private insurance market.
Now, Art, if memory serves, that was a healthcare cooperatives were a big element of the failed Clinton healthcare plan. And I'm wondering why the Obama administration thinks they would be sort of more sellable at this point than a so-called public option.
Well, I think there's a lot of fear if the government gets into this area, it's going to drive out the private plans. Plans like Medicare and the VA are very efficient. They don't have to advertise. You just sign up pretty simply. They don't have a lot of paperwork. The administrative costs of a plan like Medicare are probably, I don't know, one quarter to one tenth of what they are for private companies, which are trying to drive a profit. So the Clinton idea was subsidize them and make them attractive to small business by banding these purchasers together so they could get good rates. It was kind of a subsidy model. I'm not against that. I think in America, we find ourselves thinking it's just not fair for the private sector to have to compete against the government plan. And that's pretty much it. I think that's the rhetoric. At the end of the day, I think a government-sponsored plan to pick up the rest of the uninsured makes a lot of sense. If we can do it under the disguise of a co-op that's heavily regulated, well, okay, I guess that's all right, too.
Well, that's Dr. Kaplan, director of the Center of Bioethics of the University of Pennsylvania. Dr. Kaplan, thanks for joining us. Sounds like your takeaway is a co-op might not be that much different from a government-run plan.
I'm Ira Flatto, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.